Welcome to the Greatest Story Podcast with your hosts, Zach
and Josh.
We are here to discuss and react to some of the greatest stories ever told. We will look at books, movies, video games, and all forms of storytelling to figure out what makes a good story and what are some of the greatest stories.
Hey, that was clean. Nothing went wrong that time.
Yeah, and speaking of nothing going wrong, we're also clean on the apologies and corrects.
And that was smooth. We're rolling.
We are great. We are great. And speaking of rolling, nothing is rolling.
Yeah, we broke it. Yeah. But we do have the Aragon poll on how to pronounce Sapphira. And the results are inconclusive.
Yep.
Literally, seems like half of y'all prefer Sapphira, and then the other half prefer Sapphira.
Yep.
So, get on Instagram and keep voting, I guess. But that pulls down, you know.
Technically, the author did come out and say it is Sapphira, but that makes no sense whatsoever. So,
if we get 5 million subscribers, we'll get Christopher Paolini on the channel so Zach can debate him. Here's why you're wrong. You wrote this when you were 16, but just so you know, I disagree. Well, speaking about, well, yeah, anyways.
Disagreeing? I don't know. Okay, fine. Speaking of not disagreeing, Josh, are there any good stories that you've consumed recently?
Good? Yes.
That was so hesitant.
Well, I mean, like we just, so we actually just recorded a paid Patreon side path for our Pathfinders that are supporting the channel financially. So if that's you, go check that out. But we were just talking about the Amazon Prime Fallout show based off of the Fallout games. And because we know there's a wide variety of listeners and ages, definitely follow the rating. Turns out those are pretty accurate. But yeah, we've been, Zach and I, and respectively, have been watching the Fallout TV show set in this gritty, post-apocalyptic, kind of dark humor, goofy 1950s vibe world. And it's a great show. Great props, great acting, great world building. So yeah, that's been cool. I've still been reading Star Wars Heir to the Empire, written by Timothy Zahn, which is a cool name. Zahn. It's like Wrath of Zahn. Two different genres. Both have star in them.
True. Yeah.
But lastly, Zach and I were both lucky enough to go to the National Museum of the United States Air Force. So real quick, my favorite exhibit was the Doolittle Raid exhibit, following Doolittle and his courageous and semi-tragic but heroic mission, where they stripped down some bombers that were meant for the Army, made them lighter, flew them off an aircraft carrier knowing that it was a one-way trip, and the vast majority of them made it, even though they crash landed in enemy occupied China. Yeah, that was my favorite exhibit. What about you?
Yeah, so I had the chance to really dive into their Korean War area of the museum, which was super cool to look at and see both the appreciation for all of the servicemen who have flown and contributed and just been able to serve our country over there. And I also got to see my favorite plane of all time, which is the Sabre. Great plane, one of the early jet fighters, but they still used machine guns, no missiles. So it's just really intense, high-speed chases with no missiles.
I'm pretty sure the last ace is probably from Vietnam, but they had a couple aces in Korea.
Yes, there was. Yep.
And if, you know, they're flying with less cargo, you might say they were lightsabers.
Wow.
Ba-dum-bum. Which is might be a spoiler for next episode. Who's to say? Well, speaking of spoilers, I got nothing here. But speaking of spoilers, Zach, are there any stories that are related to the news, that are related to new stories that we're excited about?
Yes. Once I piece together what you're asking.
I meant to say, are there any news related to stories that we're excited about, and there it came go. Out threefold wrong.
Yes. So we have the last Ronin movie, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming out. And I believe there's also a game coming out. That's right. So thank you to Pathfinder Scout Aiden for that info and that update. I'm intrigued. I don't know much about this story, but I would be willing to check it out.
Yeah, I was able to look into it. It's going to be a very gritty... This doesn't seem very Ninja Turtle-y. It's kind of like Batman.
Okay.
Set in like Blade Runner kind of atmosphere.
We also have the Minecraft movie scheduled for 2025 release date with Jack Black and Jason...
Momoa.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, blank there. Yep, Jason Momoa. Yeah, so thank you, Pathfinder Scout Lucas, for that info as well.
Want to thank him for that.
I mean...
I want to thank him. We included it. So yeah, we want to thank him for that. Don't know if I'm as... interested in this one. I do appreciate the Minecraft world and games. I've played Minecraft and it's pretty great. People can do some incredible stuff on there. I mostly just try to survive and fight zombies, but
yeah. What are they, creepers?
Creepers, those are the worst. They blow up all my houses.
True story, my dad played Minecraft like really hardcore there. He had a spreadsheet.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, he had a spreadsheet where he figured out where all the resources were, and he built different outposts, but he would forget where they were on the map, so he'd write down their coordinates. And
okay, you want to know something really funny?
What?
My dad did the
same thing.
No way.
100%. Built outposts everywhere, figured out where all the resources were, and then forgot about all of them. So I helped him build cement roads, like stone roads connecting all of his outposts, and so then he tried to put signs everywhere, but then he couldn't remember which signs were pointing where. It was hilarious.
What are the odds that our both of our dads played Minecraft?
I mean, we both like video games, so I feel like the odds are,
I guess, okay, that's fair.
Higher.
Yeah. Good luck making a transition to the next segment.
Speaking of higher odds, I don't know. Josh, we would like to call out some Patreon members and those who are supporting us online.
Yeah, indeed we do. We have cause for celebration. You know, we've done 5 episodes of call outs, but this is the first time where we are proud to introduce our very first paid Patreon member, our Pathfinder champion, Paige S. Yay!
Yep, definitely. We are now monetized.
We are, which means the quality of our podcast will go up.
We will no longer be subpar.
Yeah, with our audio quality, as one friend of mine put it, through a potato.
That's right. My sister described it as, I sound like I'm talking through Apple CarPlay. So that's
Well, that's actually pretty bad. That's savage.
Yeah, definitely.
But hey, Pathfinder Champion Paige, you are a champ.
Yep.
We're proud of you.
Yep.
And thankful for you.
Yep.
And because we have our first paid Pathfinder position, for those of you that are joining the free Pathfinder tier on Patreon, we are thankful for you, but we are not going to be able to repeat all of your names. So if you want that privilege,
the guaranteed shout out,
you gotta join the hunt, man. You got to back us.
Yep.
To back you.
Yep.
Just like we're now going to call out Pathfinder Ian F. Thanks for joining, brother. Pathfinder Stephanie W. Thanks for joining, sister. Pathfinder Elena A. Thanks for joining, sister. And I guess he's getting mentioned twice on this, which doesn't seem fair. But Pathfinder Lucas.
Cool. Lucas D., thank you for, joining us and joining the hunt
and telling us about this goofy Minecraft movie.
We'll see. Well, you know, we'll keep you updated, maybe like season 4 whenever 2025 runs around.
25 hits. That would be about season 4.
There
I think
there you go.
As for YouTube, we got a lot of comments this week. We had a lot of chatter,
which is great,
which is amazing. Probably the one that made us laugh the hardest though, Alexis suggested we review Dance Moms.
Yep.
Yeah. Dance Moms, which you want to throw out a number, like what?
Like an over-under?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if we get a certain number of likes, we'll do it.
We'll
Oh boy. Like new members?
No, I mean, I was going to say like liking the comment. Yeah.
If we get, I normally say 5 million. I'll tone it down here.
Yeah,
if we get, say. If we get 100 likes.
Guaranteed.
If we get 100 likes on Alexis's comment about yep. Dance Moms, we.
For sure. It'll, for sure episode. Yep. 100 comments or 100 likes and we will slot Dance Moms.
Yeah, my heart rate just went up. Because that's plausible. You guys can make it happen, and I really, really
should we put a subscriber count on there too? Then,
yeah,
like 250, 300.
Oh, on YouTube?
Yeah, like
yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure.
Okay,
I really don't want to do this.
What number?
250.
250. Okay.
Which, by the way,
100 likes and 250 subscribers on YouTube, and it's in.
Which I believe we need 500 YouTube members. That's not the right word. Subscribers to actually join the YouTube Fellows program.
Oh, sick.
So that would get us well on our way, actually.
Yeah.
So you know what?
Alexis, if you want this,
make it happen.
You know what to do.
And Instagram, also people are enjoying the Heroic Thursdays and the Mantra Mondays.
Which are excellent. If you guys want that little bit of wisdom from Mantra Mondays, it's fantastic. I had someone describe it to me as just that little bit of joy and hope on that Monday morning. So,
oh, that's so sweet.
Yep,
it makes it all the work worth it. Then,
yep.
We went again. Like you guys keep sharing and keep joining. We went from like 20 members to I think we're over 50 now on Insta. So we're also popping there. So hey, way to go, team. Part of that was we already covered the Aragon poll, but we'd keep doing polls. You're going to see, I think...
Snacks coming out soon.
Well, the results...
I mean, like, we're going to share the results.
Yeah, we'll share the results from that one next week.
Right now.
And we got a couple polls, special polls for the upcoming week.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
Definitely. Cool. Well, that brings us to our content for today, which we're going to be talking about the great responsibility that power comes with.
That it bestows.
Because with great power comes great responsibility. That's right. We're talking about Spider-Man.
Not pizza.
Yeah. It's not even the right way. Josh, I still...
But with the introduction of the alt universes, maybe, just maybe, in the parallel universe, there is a parallel universe where Andrew Garfield says, it's pizza time.
Pizza time.
But it's not ours.
Not our reality.
Yeah.
But what is our reality... is that we're going to run The Amazing Spider-Man, not the second one, because there is a one and a two, not the Jamie Foxx one.
Nope.
But we're going to run the first Amazing Spider-Man through our little rubric.
Yep.
Which if you want to see it, join Patreon.
Yep.
You can follow along even. So pause and go do that.
So Spider-Man, Josh, what are your opening thoughts?
I mean, it's just that there was a golden age of superhero movies, and this one definitely fell in that golden age.
Yeah. I agree.
The like 2010 to like 2020 really had some great superhero movies. And like you knew exactly what you're getting in for. Like you know you were in for like a nice 2 hour long adventure. Get your popcorn, get your Coca-Cola, and just sit back, enjoy the ride. And typically you'd actually even come out of it with a good ethical lesson.
Yeah.
So you also felt like you gained something for it.
Yep.
Amazing Spider-Man hits it. I think Andrew Garfield did great. Emma Stone did great.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of great actors, a lot of great performances. So what about main characters? Obviously, Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Now, are we going through engagement, like engaging characters right now? Or are we just naming off the main character?
No, we're just going to do name the main character.
Main character.
Yeah, so you got like Peter Parker, who... I found this movie to be quite similar to Batman. Like, this iteration of Spider-Man.
So, spoiler alerts for No Way Home. So, if you haven't seen No Way Home, which is the top... Well, it's technically all of them.
Oh, right, right. That's the one. Okay, yeah, yeah. I mixed up that one and Homecoming.
Right.
Yeah, my bad.
So, it's like all of them join in. But Andrew Garfield, when he appears in No Way Home, is definitely portrayed as a... more gritty, like difficult Batman like Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, they did the whole like the opening sequence is like, I'm an orphan.
Yep.
My parents were brutally murdered.
Yep. It's a conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Everyone's out for my company.
And then even like Uncle Ben kind of shadows like Bruce Wayne. So we're not talking about Batman here. Yeah. We're talking about Spider-Man, not Batman.
That's right. So different animal, guys.
But Peter Parker's an orphan. In this version, he gets a radioactive spider embedded in his spinal column. Basically, like it goes into his neck.
Yep.
Struggles with the basic plot is he struggles.
I just got to. You mentioned that one of the worst scenes, and they just do it so well. Andrew Garfield just does it so well.
Yeah.
When he reaches back and yanks the web out of his, like, the spider bite. Oh, man. It's just, like, the sound and his face. I feel it every time.
I'm pretty sure he pulled the whole dang spider out.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just like, a bite.
Web spider. Like, he just, like...
This thing burrows into, like...
I don't know if it burrows. I think it's just hanging there on a web.
Oh, okay.
But it's like the web is, like, deep.
Okay, wait. I totally thought it embedded in his spine.
Like alien or something.
I thought it was. That whole time I was like, that's it.
And the spider comes out of his stomach.
That's a throwback. Thanks, Ridley Scott. Anyways, you got Peter Parker wrestling with basic plot. You know, I have this great power now. He has like spider-like reflexes, He has reflexes, super strength, and he uses science for webs and stuff. And he wants to be selfish. There's a plot about vengeance. We'll get into that. But he actually goes through and has to wrestle with his decision making because of that.
Yeah.
Part of that is Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben is a mentor and delivers that line, with great power comes great responsibility, which is the ultimate line for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Every rendition, every adaptation has that line. It's kind of the central part of Spider-Man's character.
Right.
Is if you can help, you must help.
Which I don't know if they actually... Do they say great power comes great responsibility in this movie? There was a rendition of
it. Nope, they say it.
Okay.
Everybody says it.
Yeah, you gotta...
You have to. It's not a Spider-Man unless you say it. Editing Zach here. They definitely say a rendition of it. Josh was right. They tried to get cheeky with Tom Holland. They don't say it till later, but they still say it.
Yeah, but you have to.
Yeah.
You have to have Aunt May in there, too.
Yep.
You have the Stacy family.
Yep.
Most notably Gwen Stacy and Captain Stacy. Yeah. The protective father.
Yep.
You have
police chief.
Yeah.
Yep. Canon event. I'll get to that later.
Is he the police chief?
Yeah.
I thought he was just the police captain.
Oh, he might be a captain.
Yeah, I don't think he's the chief.
Yeah.
But you also have the bullies that he wrestles with, both the main bully.
Yep.
And then the side, like the lesser bully, you have like his high school bully, Flash. And
who's the main bully?
Dr. Connors.
Oh, you mean like villain?
Yeah.
He's not really a bully. He's just a villain. He's not like pulling up Spider-Man by his trousers.
He's just pulling up legs and tails like reptiles do.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a gross scene when he loses his tail.
Yep.
Anyways.
Great scene though, because that's literally what lizards do. Yeah.
I don't think it works that fast, though.
Oh, no, for sure.
So, for context, basically, Spider-Man yanks
and,
off.
Like, throws the tail with Spider-Man on it.
Yeah, and then his tail grows like, in less than later. 3 seconds. Yeah. Anyways. Well, those are the main characters, just for context. So, let's get into the rubric, Zach.
Yep.
Clear plot. Do you think that the hero's journey happens?
I think aspects do.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a mentor.
Yeah.
That mentor is going to die.
Yeah. Like most do.
Which, like a lot of mentors do.
Spoiler alert.
There's supernatural help if you include the radioactive spider.
That's true.
So, I mean,
I can see it to some extent. He definitely has to overcome challenges.
He does.
He's definitely changed. There's a moment of realization. Honestly, it probably follows it pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is the archetypal plot, and I think it hits.
And that's it. Yeah, you have character development, you have a problem, you have a resolution in the end. So I think it follows it pretty well. What about a clear character arc? Like, let's focus in especially on Peter Parker, because I think that you could... Well, I'm going to argue that Dr. Connors is a compelling character without the character arc.
I mean, there's a little bit at the very end.
I think it's just a return to what he was before.
Well, there is no...
I think his arc is more cyclical.
Sure.
So not an arc, because that's... See, an arc goes to a new point.
Is because he had a prison in his own mind.
Correct.
And then ends in prison?
Yeah, he went crazy. Yep.
But he's sane by the end.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I mean, Peter Parker, I think the clearest character arc is selfish versus selfless.
Yep.
And that's just, I mean, if you watch this movie and you miss that.
Yeah, they hit it multiple times.
Yeah, I don't know what we can do for you, friend.
Yep.
If you miss that.
Peter Parker's super selfish and through adversity becomes selfless.
And it's, I mean, it's dark. Yeah. Yeah, and he makes it himself. Yeah. Like. Anyways, we're not there yet.
Yeah, great, great movie, though.
But this is a good segue into the thing we really want to talk about the most today.
Yeah, this is the most important part. We've already hinted at it already. Does this story contain a clear ethical lesson, Josh?
Not just one. I think it has, like, at least three. I'm going to argue four.
Yeah, I would say normally I don't include the rankings for different categories, but I'll just show my hand a little bit. Ethical lesson, S tier.
This is the best part about this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there is actually the movie ends with, I guess it's an English teacher or a literature teacher that says this quote of, like, there's only one type of fiction story. Like, some scholars will say 10, and she says there's only one. And she says the question of who am I? Right. And yep. And I think that's probably one of the clearest ethical lessons of, you know, Spider-Man has to choose just a lot. Like, it's throwing back to 1.4 with Simba.
Yep.
And I guess a little bit of Aragorn too from last episode, but definitely less so. Like, is Peter Parker going to be a hero? Right. Or is he going to be like a villain, but not like a super villain, like a, I just look out for myself, only do it myself. Right. So I think the first stop on this ethical journey, if we're going to try to go through these points, is vengeance is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is vengeance something that actually brings us joy and healing? Is retribution actually healthy? So where do we see that, Zach?
Yeah, so one of the clearest examples is the revenge arc that Peter Parker takes. So before Uncle Ben dies, but after Peter Parker gets his powers, he bullies the bully. So he bullies Flash, humiliates him, ridicules him.
Remorselessly. That was
mercilessly.
Different. Yeah. Or without remorse. Or
both, in fact.
Yeah.
So that happens, and Uncle Ben actually is upset instead of encouraging at Peter Parker's quote-unquote vindication, right? So this bully has now been humbled, and you would think Uncle Ben would be like, hey, great job, you know?
Yeah.
Which, to be clear, this is because Peter shows up to his aunt and uncle's house, like, needing a raw steak just put on top of his face, like, two or three times.
Yeah.
And so Uncle Ben knows, and he's talked about it with Peter. Is this the scene where Uncle Ben says, like, your dad had... philosophy, and then it's like
that's later.
We'll pause then on that one.
But this is where he says the line, you must feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. Right?
The idea that, hey, you showed your power, you humiliated him, you probably feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah.
And Uncle Ben says that's not cool.
Right? Yeah. That must be so cool, man. Right? And I think we can all relate to that, right? Like, I think
the need for vengeance.
Yeah.
To humiliate those that have humiliated us.
And we come out on the other side and it's just hollow.
Yep.
Right? And you've now become the very thing that you wanted to destroy.
Yep.
Right? Like, if you try to defeat a fire with a fire, technically, scientifically, if your fire is big enough, you'll suffocate the other fire.
But guess what? It's just a bigger fire.
I don't know.
Science. Unhelpful science.
Right.
And this even, like, this actually is going to spin into the next point.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a petty little scene here that turns into a very profound scene where Peter is tired. He, like, walking around New York City after throwing a temper tantrum, which we'll probably get into in a second. But he wants to buy some milk at a 7-Eleven type convenience store. And he witnesses some not nice behavior, and he witnesses a crime, and then he pays it back with, you know, not helping. And that
you dissed me, I'm not going to help you.
And just like the spider bit him in the neck, this is going to come back and bite him too.
Yep. Because that same robber that he doesn't help stop is the one who ends up murdering Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And that sets Peter off on his revenge story, not against a bully, but against a criminal and a murderer.
Right. Murder. Which there's cool escalation. We'll talk to this probably when we get to like consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But we go from vengeance is wrong / unsatisfactory, right? Like Peter basically tries to take two pennies or something from like the, you know, leave a penny jar. And the guy's like, nah, you didn't spend enough money for that. And so Peter witnesses him get robbed and then says, hey, I have the power to stop this guy. Yep. I don't need to.
Yep.
Right after Uncle Ben, actually, when I was about to say earlier, goes through this entire lesson with Peter.
Yep. About your dad had certain standards.
Yeah, and the standard was, if you have the capacity to do good to someone, it's not even a choice, it's an obligation. Which is pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool thing to throw out there in a movie.
Yeah, I think it's something to consider, right? If you have the ability to help someone, I think it's a good idea to consider helping them.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you know, doing the right thing is just necessary.
Yeah.
But Peter chooses to not. And that, you know, it becomes tragic because guess who does? Say, you know what, I'm going to do this thing, but has way less power.
Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben does what Peter should have done, but he doesn't have the power to actually succeed. And so Uncle Ben dies doing what Peter should have done.
And so it's just, you know, part of this is when we have power and we don't use it well, are we, one, creating our own monster, and two, are we setting up somebody else for failure?
To fail. Yeah, definitely. So you have this idea of responsibility, of doing good, of using power and influence well, and you have the idea of generosity and family. You have Peter is a teenager, and he's struggling with thankfulness, gratefulness, struggling with, you know, my uncle and aunt have basically been parents to me, but I kind of don't like them right now, and so there's this conflict here, but I think Peter, even especially in his grief, right, recognizes the thankfulness that he has for Uncle Ben and for Aunt May.
Yeah.
And you see him grow to take better care of Aunt May after Uncle Ben is gone.
Which, because, again, that's his fault. Because he was also supposed to pick up Aunt May,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't because he's researching.
He's being selfish and just getting involved in himself.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even like selfish in the sense of like I went to the arcade with my friends.
Right. It's not bad,
right?
It's just selfish.
But I wanted to go to Toshi Station. No, he was working at like a job, right, at Oscorp, and he was trying to figure out what happened to his parents, which is not inherently evil, but he prioritized that. Because he prioritized that, he ends up making his own monsters.
Yeah.
Not once, but...
No, but, like, literally makes a monster. I mean, he gives the correct code, formula, whatever, for Dr. Connors to be able to make his serum to turn people into lizards. Well, technically, it's to help people regenerate limbs, but, you know, bad things happen, and it turns people into lizards. And it twists Dr. Connors' mind, and so Dr. Connors actually becomes the kind of spokesperson for the mentality of power above all else.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Connors now goes from wanting to regrow his limb to be normal to let's make everybody lizards because they're superior and more powerful and we can all be like mutated and superhuman.
Which is interesting compared to Spider-Man, because Spider-Man learns from Uncle Ben, like, humanity is what saves us. Generosity is what saves us. I think Dr. Connors at one point says, like, why should we be human when we can be more?
Yep.
Right. And so that was cool. But like, I mean,
there's conflict there. Yeah.
Like, he messes with Flash and sets that up. Like, there's this mini revenge arc, and it's kind of like a pseudo training montage, right? How does Spider-Man get his skills? He basically beats up petty burglars, criminals, right? And there's this whole montage because he created this monster and he needs to hunt them down. And then that is followed up by Dr. Connors is a literal, like, Godzilla, not in size, but he's a lizard man and Peter has to defeat him, and that's something he wrestles with. At one point, he even says, I have to stop him. I made him.
Yeah, definitely. And so we have this conflict. I think the conflict is pretty clear on a couple points. So there's this kind of side arc of his mom and dad, which I think is not handled as well. I think it's introduced, and there's kind of some mystery box stuff, and it's not really concluded much.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they had an idea of like, we're gonna do 3, 4, 5 movies, and this is gonna be the through line for that,
and it didn't really pan out. There is the idea of Oscorp as kind of the center of the conflict, even literally being the final standoff place of like the conflict. Final battle happens at Oscorp. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then Dr. Connors is the clearest conflict, right? He's the power mantra versus the responsibility mantra. He's the evil, Spider-Man's the good, and they have this clear conflict. And I think there is a resolution, even to the point of Spider-Man, which is one of the things that Spider-Man does so well, is Spider-Man always tries to save his villains. He doesn't just try to defeat them, he tries to save them.
And in this case...
He does.
And Dr. Connors saves him.
Yes.
Right. There's kind of that. It's almost like they together defeat the Lizard.
Yeah.
And Dr. Connors and Spider-Man are both kind of healed in that sense.
Yeah. And Connors stops him from falling off of a skyscraper.
Yep. Yep. So, what about engaging and relatable characters?
Yeah, you want to talk about Peter for a second?
Yeah, definitely. I think Peter Parker is a definitely engaging character. A lot of people argue, and I would argue this too, there are some Peter Parkers that I think are better. I think he's an amazing Spider-Man. I love just his movements, his acting, a lot of the things that he does as Spider-Man. But he's definitely a compelling character with these moral issues that he has to work through, with these questions that he has to answer. His one-liners are absolutely hysterical. So yeah, there's tons of quotable and memorable parts of his character.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker.
Andrew Garfield is great.
I think I feel like, because they do like the high school tropes so well, which, pause, time out. Not literally, like, I hope you don't edit this out, but...
Oh, there we go.
But it's just, like, they have, like, Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield being like, look at us, we're teenagers. And they always do this thing where they pick, like, these full-grown adults to be like, yeah, high schoolers, this is you.
Yep. And it's every just, high schooler is a 25-year-old man.
Well, I feel like they're even, like, 28.
They might be 30. Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy. Anyways, unpause. But Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker, I feel like I relate to him, because they do all the high school tropes, like the couple kissing on the locker right next to you and you're single and like, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I just need my textbook.
Yeah. Right. Or the bully stuff.
Yep.
Him resisting bullies, which that was actually good foreshadowing now that I think about it.
Yep.
Which he resists the bully before he has powers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for those, like, just the high school stuff, like, you know, if you've been through high school, you have something similar, hopefully not to the same degrees as Peter Parker does, because they're like dramatized.
It's on purpose. If that's the case, that's not great.
He portrays a great high schooler. And for that, I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about Dr. Connors, so I'm not going to spend too much time on Dr. Connors. I think Dr. Connors is a great character and a compelling character for his role. He is a idealistic, good intention scientist who is willing to cut corners in order to meet deadlines. And it comes back to literally destroy him in the sense of turning him into a lizard. But he also is wrestling with, what does it mean to actually heal people? How am I competent in myself? Right, he feels like less of a person because he's literally missing an arm.
Right, we were hyping the whole tail thing. The reason he's doing this research is because it's very clear.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily tell you, but they show you. That the man is just feeling insufficient because he's missing an arm.
Yep.
Which then you have some of that. The one thing I would add is that, like, you have this dialogue of selfish growth and selfish power.
Yeah.
And then trying to forcibly like apply that to everybody else. But you want to talk about Captain Stacy?
Yeah, so we decided that Captain Stacy is a little bit of a foil. Not necessarily 100%. You can look up what foil means. Maybe even editing Zach will throw in some descriptions of what a foil is. Editing Zach here. A foil is a thin sheet of metal
typically made by hammering or rolling. The most easily made foils are from malleable metal, such as aluminum, copper, tin, and gold. Gotcha. Just kidding. It's a literary element that serves to contrast the main character.
I don't think we've put foil on.
Talk about 1.3?
Go back and listen to 1.3 anyways. I think it's in there.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's not.
Well, we definitely talked about foil in 1.4 with Simba, with Mufasa and Scar. Captain Stacy and Peter Parker are always like intersecting as characters that are very similar but for different reasons. Yep, macho male, police captain, staying within the rules, doing what's right. Peter Parker is Spider-Man, vigilante, not necessarily within the rules, but using his power and his responsibility to do what's right. Yeah. And then in the end, they have to come to this conclusion where they both agree and they both come to the same, okay, we might not agree with our methods, but we both have to work together.
Yeah, and they actually do, because they both confront Dr. Connors at the height of his insanity, and
one of them needs to stop the device that's going to turn everyone into lizards. One of them has to delay the lizards so that they can get there, and so they decide to split tasks.
Yeah, so Captain Stacy's just slam loading shotgun shells into Dr. Connors' hand while he's frozen in a pit. Which, that's going to sound very confusing. If you do, like, I have this scene in my head, but if you have never seen it, you're like, he's doing what? Dr. Connors fell into an ice pit, basically, of chemicals.
Carbonite.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Captain Stacy's shooting a shotgun at his hand.
Yep.
But the foil is that Captain Stacy has an entire team, right? An entire force. And there's a point where somebody says Spider-Man's alone.
Yeah.
And Captain Stacy says he's not alone.
Yep. And in fact, the city helps. All the construction workers help Spider-Man get to the tower. Right. So it's like the whole city is banding together to help Spider-Man.
Which only happens, we talked about how Spider-Man makes his own villains, right? He creates his own monsters and has to deal with them. But he also creates heroes. Yeah, like he saves this dude's son. That dude sees Spider-Man needing help. And he's like, I'm going to help him. Yeah. So, you know, another tangent ethical lesson. Sometimes doing good is reward in and of itself. And you never know how, you know, doing good to somebody else will end up doing good to you too.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyways, Captain Stacy has a team, right? He's a little selfish because his ego's hurt by Spider-Man. But in the end, he actually sacrifices it all and puts it on the line for Spider-Man, going back to the selfish, selfless thing. Spider-Man learns ultimately from both Uncle Ben and others, but culminating with Captain Stacy, that he might actually have to lay down his life as a hero for the sake of others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, it's a very mini foil.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What about Captivating World?
Meh. Superhero movies, like the world is our world with like it's inconsistencies.
Yep.
Not even a real New York. It's a clean New York. Like, I lived in New York for a summer. This was like pristine. Like,
sorry, New York.
No, I mean, New York's a lovely city. A lot to see, a lot to do. The people there are tough, industrious, and hardworking folk. But, you know, the city is lived in. There's a lot of people in New York. In Amazing Spider-Man, it's very, very clean. So, I don't know. You also have, like, in superhero movies, you got stuff like Superman and Kryptonite, and you're like, okay, everything's normal except, right? And in the same way, right, this is basically everything's normal except for the science we cannot explain, will not try to, and doesn't make sense. Why do they have a whole factory room full of spiders that are neon blue? And how does this kid magically get in there with no safety precautions? And then he gets bit. And he's the only one that's gotten bit out of these thousands of spiders and employees. He's the only Spider-Man. Like, there's just things like that don't feel very coherent. And the world is just kind of meh for me at that point.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the world is a superhero world. I would say the same thing about a lot of the Marvel and DC movies. Superhero worlds, it takes a lot to make it really captivating. It's good enough.
Yeah.
What about consistency?
Again, I mean, like, plot-wise, solid.
Yeah.
Story-wise, solid.
Yeah.
World-building-wise, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they do a good job of... So one thing I'll say for consistency, and this is just a personal thing for me, I absolutely love the fight scenes between the lizard and Spider-Man because they're very fluid, very well choreographed, and they fight like animals. Huh. There's even one scene where Spider-Man literally like crawls all around Lizard and webs him up, and it looks just like a spider fighting some other animal. And Lizard, like, even with the tail thing or like the way he's climbing up things. And so I think the consistency of the fight scenes is really, really cool. The way that they almost tap into that animalistic, you know, radioactive kind of research that they're doing. Other than that, I mean, it's a superhero world.
Yeah, but I mean, again, clearest point for me is thinking about the plot inconsistency. Like, there's just a clear escalation, right? Peter Parker versus bullies, Spider-Man versus robbers or gangsters or whatever you want to call them, and then Peter Parker and Spider-Man versus Dr. Connors and I forget the villain's name. Is it just Lizard?
Lizard, yep.
Yeah. So, all that to say, pretty consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, where does this bring us, Zach?
Well, that kind of brings us to the conclusion of this episode. We want to especially ask you to continue to comment, share on Instagram, share on Facebook, comment on YouTube, like us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your platform is. That is seriously a huge help.
Super important. Just so you guys know, about less than half, over a third of you watching on YouTube aren't subscribed.
Yeah.
Stop the shenanigans. But yeah, no, for real, subscribe on YouTube. A lot of you on Spotify. There's a better ratio of following versus unfollowing. But hey, if this is you, follow.
Yeah, for sure. And you should also subscribe on Patreon. Come join us. Join the hunt. Become a Patreon. You can join us on the free tier. You can also join us on our paid tiers, which gives you more content, access to voting, a whole bunch of other things coming your way.
And speaking of paid, we're hearing whispers.
Ashkenaz, Rish, Raj. Sorry, black speech. Sorry.
We can't utter that here.
I'm sorry. I do not ask your pardon.
Lord of the Rings isn't even in the season, I don't think. But J.R. Tolkien is.
Yeah.
Anyways, but all that to say, we're hearing whispers and rumors, not of black speech of Mordor, but that you guys want like items, merch, as it were. Right? We're still young. We're in our infant, not like as people, we're not in our
infancies. We are full grown babies.
But as a community, as a podcast, we're in our infancy. So we are probably going to put out some polls trying to gauge your all's interest, because we're probably going to have to do a Kickstarter or something like that where we collect money first to make the merch and then distribute it after. And if we don't get enough of you that express interest, then that's going to go nowhere. So if you see some poll like that and you're excited by that, like, please contemplate giving an honest answer to that, right? If we get like 100 people saying they want to buy something and then nobody does,
that's going to be real awkward.
And it's going to be hard on Zach and I as individuals, but something we're willing to do and we're excited about.
Spiral.
Yeah.
Control.
I'm trying to figure a way to spiral into our tier chart now. But hey,
do a barrel roll.
What do you think the tier is for Amazing Spider-Man, Zach?
Yeah, so we haven't talked about this beforehand, so we'll see if you agree. I'm in B. It's a better, so I will say it's a better B than Aragorn, because I'm just saying, so for reference, the way that I do my tier is I do all of our rubric stuff, and then I average it out from there.
So you actually have the math?
I have math, yeah.
I'm giving you guys a spiritual, emotional gut answer from the pit of my being.
One of us should have the facts behind it.
I won't take that personally. I mean, like, the ethics are just so good. They're such good lessons.
Yep.
Right, like, I thought a lot about putting in A, but again, we're looking at the story.
Overall.
The story is just a classic, right? And I would say it's an above average classic, right? It's not like they just do it and do it okay. They do it well. So I'm cool with B.
B it is. Well, well, well. Josh, we have made it to the end of this episode.
Josh, what are we doing next week?
I need to stop this.
I'm so excited for this next part. What do we do?
Seriously, if you want to know what we're doing and when we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds kind of creepy, actually. I mean, in specific relation to episodes.
Anyway, if you would like to know what the greatest on that is doing, not just Zach. I mean, I'm sure we can
live cam, just a 24-hour like loop video. You know, like they do of like the baby otters or like the little eagle babies. Just pull a Truman Show.
This should be an empty room. We're about to... like when you go to the zoo.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Are the animals sleeping? Sure. Cool.